Amen. All right, I'd like for you to look in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll read verses 14 through 17, maybe 13 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. He said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." I believe that's where we're at. But he said, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." All scripture, 39 in the old, 27 books in the new. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, God breathed it out. That's exactly what he did. In the old time, the old men of God, the Holy Ghost came on them, and God breathed out the word and breathed on them. Boy, I like the breath of God, don't you, Brother Don? Amen. I like it when God breathes on my preaching. Because then you'll like it, amen. If he don't, then that's the only fear I have about preaching is that God might not anoint me, and that scares me, amen, because I can't preach it myself. But he said, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." Boy, it'll do you good. "For doctrine, for reproof," it'll straighten you out, "for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect," that is, complete, "thoroughly furnished unto all good works." I won't preach tonight on some, now I want you to get this word. Joyce said you better look it up in the dictionary, make sure you got it right, amen. So I want to preach on some inexplicable truths in the scriptures. Inexplicable means incapable of being explained. There are some things in the Bible that I don't understand how it happened or how God did it or why God did it sometimes, amen. But they're just inexplicable. You can't explain these doctrinal truths. First, what I want to look at tonight is found in, you don't have to turn there, just stay with me. But the first one is found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven," that's a plural word, heavens, "and the earth." Now, I don't understand that. I can't explain how God stepped up on the edge of eternity and simply spoke the word of God. The word of God spoke and all of the universes, I mean all of the solar systems and the sun and the moon and the stars and all of that came into existence. God created things that were out of nothing. There was nothing there, but God spoke the word, and it came into existence. If I didn't have another verse in the Bible to instantiate creation over evolution, this is the only verse I'd need. Amen? We did not. Now, your grandpa might have been a monkey, but mine wasn't. Amen? Mine was a little old humpback feller that some logs rolled over him. He was a logger. And the logs rolled over him and broke his back and his humpback. My grandpa's little old humpback Humphreys fella. He wasn't a monkey. Say amen right there. He was not a monkey. But of course, I want to give you something now. I don't want to confuse you or go into a lot of detail about it. But personally, I believe that verse 1 in Genesis 1:1 deals with the original creation. Amen. I mean, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven," or "the heavens and the earth," period. But something happened in verse number 2. It said, "And the earth was," or "became, without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved," or "hovered over," or "vibrated over, upon the face of the waters." And God began to recreate what he had destroyed and brought judgment on, I believe, because of the sin that Lucifer introduced into creation when he said, I'll exalt my throne above the throne of God and the stars of God, and I'll be like the Most High. And as a result, God cast him down to the earth, and God brought judgment on the earth, and that's what happened in verse number 2. Everything from verse number 3 on is not the original creation, except when he created the fishes and the birds and man. He simply recreated them. Personally, I believe God caused a cloud mass around the earth, and God cut the sun off from the earth, and the earth froze over, and all the dinosaurs died. There wasn't any dinosaurs on the ark, brother. I don't believe that. Amen. Despite what this one guy said here one time, I just don't believe that. I don't believe God. I don't believe I could have got along with a T-Rex, amen, right there, without him having dominion over me and swallowing me in little pieces. But Genesis 1:1. Now, God gives us some insight into things, but we can't explain all about God. One of these glorious days when we're with God and with the Lord Jesus in all of eternity, Brother Don said the other day, God's going to reveal himself to us. God's going to tell us things that we couldn't explain when we was here on the earth out of this Bible. Amen. God's going to explain it to us. I got a little grandson. He said, you explain that to me, Papa. And I said, yeah, I'll explain it to you. Amen. And so God's going to do all that in creation. All right, the second thing that's inexplicable in the scriptures, but it's the truth. You're not able to explain it. But it's found in Exodus chapter 3. Now, God will never do this again. God don't do this today. I don't care what preachers say, how many times they've seen the Lord Jesus. They hadn't, and this will never happen again. It said in chapter 3, verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. And by the way, I want to talk about God's call of Moses from the burning bush that didn't burn. Amen. Now, I can't explain that, but listen. He said he kept the flock of his father Jethro's father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. I'll tell you, if you want to communicate with God, you need to get along with him. Amen. And talk to him, and then God will talk to you. And the angel of the Lord, that is the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never do this again. He doesn't do that today. But then he did. The pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of the Lord, appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. I can't explain that. How a bramble bush, it rolls across the ground maybe, and the Lord comes into that bush, and as a result of, because he's the Almighty God, it catches on fire. And it burns, but the bush is not burned up. You want me to tell you what I think that represents? I think that represents the nation of Israel. She's going through the tribulation, Brother Don, but she's not going to be consumed. I don't care what the terrorists think or what they say. Brother, God's got his hand on Israel. They're his chosen nation. And God's protecting them, and God's going to bring them through his fiery judgment of the tribulation period, but God's going to bring them through it. Amen? I believe that's what that means. All right, the creation of the universe, can't explain it. The call of Moses from the bush that didn't burn, that wasn't consumed, but it burned. And then I want you to notice over in the book of Luke, St. Luke, chapter number 1. I want you to notice another thing that's inexplicable in the Bible, one of God's truths, is the conception and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't explain that. I don't understand all about it. I got a little bit of insight into it, Brother Tommy, amen. God gave me, the Holy Ghost gave me a little bit, but I can't explain all that. But notice what he said in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, and by the way, The Lord Jesus wasn't born in December. I'm sorry, but he wasn't. Amen. In the 6 months, that is April, May, June, July, August, September. April is the new year for the nation of Israel. So in the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city called of Galilee named Nazareth. That's a place of lowliness. He didn't come in any great authority or excellence or royalty, but he come to the place of lowliness. And literally and physically and geographically, Nazareth sits down in a basin, Brother Don. It's the place of lowliness. That's where he came to. And he said to a virgin, a spouse to a man, that is, she is promised to him and engaged to him, whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, have found the grace of the Lord. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. He didn't deify her. He just blessed her. Amen. We don't pray through the Virgin Mary, but we pray through the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest that sits on the right hand of God the Father. Amen. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, the grace of God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, the Savior, the Lord's Savior. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, which is in Jerusalem, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And the angel answered it, and when Mary, then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Boy, I like that, amen. God's very clear. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. That is, he shall envelop you in a haze of brilliance or glory and cause you to become a child. Notice what it said, Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, her cousin Elizabeth, she was about to bear a son too. But I can't explain to you the conception and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Got to hurry. And then notice, fourthly, the changing of a sinner to a saint. I can't explain that. I don't know how in the world the Holy Ghost can be everywhere. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He's everywhere at the same time. But in spite of all of that, even though he's in all places at all times, he can come into the heart and body and soul of a little old sinner like Bob Humphreys down at Bethel Baptist Church off Bankhead Highway. Amen. And save me and make me not a sinner. I'm not referred to as a sinner anymore. I'm referred to as a son or a saint of God. And so I don't understand, I can't explain how God changes a sinner to a saint. But notice what he did for Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious sinner. Amen. That's what he was. In John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees. He was a strict separatist. And by the way, I believe in separation, but that's another message. He was a strict separatist named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is, he can't perceive it or understand that he's a sinner and that he needs to be saved, except the Spirit of God comes on him. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. Some believe that means the Word of God, others a natural birth, the water that surrounds a little baby in its mama's body when she's expecting. But that's neither here nor there. That's okay, whichever way you believe it. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, He cannot enter in to the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Don't be amazed, Nicodemus, that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. That's a divine imperative. It's got to be that way for you to be saved or changed from a sinner to a saint. Lastly, not only all that, but the catching away of the church. I can't explain that. There are people dead. Sharks have consumed them. There's people still down there, I believe, in the Titanic. Brother Tommy, is that right? And I don't know how in the world God's going to find them and bring them up, and people that are saved by the grace of God. But one of these glorious days, God's going to bring them out of the graves from all over this planet. And all of us that are alive and remain going to be caught up and changed into the glorious body like the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't be no more wheelchairs. Somebody said, Brother Don said, won't be any undertakers in heaven. And brother up here, what's his name, Joyce? We like the undertaker we like up here. He said, wait a minute. There'll be undertakers there. There won't be any use for them, amen. Won't be any dead folks there for us to take care of. But the catching away of the church. Now, I'll not read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll not read that. I'll just go ahead and close. We'll have business meeting here. I've done pretty good, about 20 minutes. That's pretty good, amen, 25 minutes. So God's going to catch us away, and I'm so glad of that. I wonder tonight, can I ask us to bow our heads, please, just a second? Is that all right? I do that, yes. Brother Doc. Can we just bow our heads just a minute? I wonder, all over the building, you say, Brother Bob, I know, I remember at Bethel Baptist Church. Brother Don remembers that church, I'm sure. Bethel Baptist Church, his Junior Richards used to go there and attend there some and preach there. But at Bethel Baptist Church, I remember I was sitting about three pews back in the middle, and my sister and brother-in-law had taken me to church, and I went with them because I liked them and looked up to them. Second time I'd ever been to church in my life. And about that time, the old Horace Johnson gave the invitation. And the Holy Ghost of God got a hold of me in that pew sitting there. And brother, I remember struggling. I mean, I was struggling with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was saying, go to the altar, and Bob Humphrey said, don't. You know, and finally I went. And I got saved by the grace of God. I don't understand that. Can't explain it to you. I don't even know why God would even bother with a little old 13-year-old brat like I was. Amen. I was a little rascal. But I'm glad God saved me. I wonder how many in the building tonight say, Brother Bob, I know what you're talking about. I remember when I got saved. Can you raise your hand? Remember when I got saved. Everybody in the building saved. I'm glad of that. Thank you, dear God, for this message. Thank you for the opportunity to preach. Pray you'll bless Brother Don and Brother Foskey for being obedient to the Holy Spirit and having us to come. God bless us and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.